Here we go. It's hour one, G-Bag Nation 105.3 The Fan, and welcome in on your home of a very victorious Texas Rangers baseball team sitting at 5-2, won another series, won another game, 1-0. And this is pretty exciting, but there is one question, and we'll get into that. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. N.A. Jared Sandler's going to join us coming up in about 10 minutes or so. There's Broadus.
Yes, sir.
You have Ross Lubinsky in for Lucius Alexander here on a Butt Naked Wednesday. Wolchuk and Schiaffalo reunited. It feels so good. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. You can watch us on the internet, Twitch, YouTube, and such. The question is, can this team hit at 877-881-1053? Go ahead, leave your name and city you're texting from. We'll make you famous. Okay, the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line is open now. We do have to celebrate some cool history they've made, but this could easily be getting swept by the Reds. You know, if the Reds had any sort of a lineup themselves. But they did enter today, never having won back-to-back 1-0 games. They pulled that off. That's cool history, okay? You only get a chance to do that, though, if you have kind of a crappy offense, don't you? and salute to Jack Leiter. Went five innings, gave up one hit, zero runs, left the game with a blister. Salute to the bullpen. Webb, Garcia, Martin, Jackson, 6, 7, 8, 9. How about that? And Josh Smith was nice with an RBI hit. They're scoring Jock Peterson in the fourth inning. Great for those guys, and great for Nathan Eovaldi. How about that yesterday? So there's a lot to be excited about with this Rangers team, but can they hit? That's the question. What do you think?
I think, yeah, eventually the bats are going to get going. Hopefully it's this homestand against the Rays. Hunter Green's a really good pitcher. He's coming off a good season last year with the Reds, one of the better younger arms they've got there. So I do think you've sometimes just got to tip the cap to the opposition. But the fact that you're held to just one run the last 2 days and coming into the season, we were all excited about how lethal this lineup could be. It's definitely been disappointing. I think there's definitely cause for mild concern. But I think you're going to see this throughout the season. The pitching is going to dominate. The hitting won't be there. Then you'll need the hitting to kind of uplift the pitching, and the pitching will be down. That's just kind of the journey of 162 that you got to navigate throughout the season. So not overly concerned. I think there's just too much talent in this lineup for them to stay cold for so long. But the longer it goes, the more you're like, oh, what's that? What the hell's going on here?
Yeah, you know, I think you combine it with last year. Is this a continuation of last year or just a slow start? What do you think, Tex? Is Wolchuk sounding like he's speaking the truth, or is he sounding like a homer?
No, this is a guy with some perspective right now. It is a little bit more difficult because we were having this conversation for like the whole season last year. Like at some point they have to come around. At some point they have to come around, and they never did. Now I do think that you're still seeing. I mean, you're seeing some really hard hit balls from. I mean, guys like Langford and Garcia in particular. You're getting hard hit balls. You had the weird weather stuff going on with the wind as well. I think that actually was helpful to a guy like Josh Smith today. But last night, I think it was into their face when it comes to the win that was out there. So, and like Wolchuk mentioned, like guys like Crochet, Green today, you're going up against some horses, but it is frustrating. You're just kind of waiting for that moment. I'm still confident. The sample size is still extremely small if you're not counting last year. So I'm expecting it to get together.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good. And, you know, you look at the averages just overall with Semien and Jock Peterson, it's been really, really poor.
You're worried about.
Yeah, they've got a lot of guys that have having to play in the lineup, and you have no Young and no Seager today. You know, it's going to look pretty ragged. But I was kind of expecting them to at least muster something up today. And I know Green is outstanding. I mean, just listening to the game, it's just the command that he had. But man, it was like. It was very rare for them to work any kind of a count. You know, it was just basically it was one or two pitches and then outs and stuff. So they've got to figure out a way to maybe be a little bit more selective at the plate. But you look at the way that they've started, I would say, yes, this is an absolute concern.
Yeah, Semien's story is interesting, you know, and I think, you know, fans are starting to get pretty frustrated with it. Is it still too early? Yes. But I would say in a month, it'll be the sweet spot of when it could really make sense to start taking a look at this thing. You know, the top 100 players came out today by, I think, Jeff Passan, I think he's the one that put that out there, and he had Simeon at like 60 or 65, and I was like, I don't know if I'd have him in my top 100 still.
Certainly not offensively. That's one that I think it is fair to be extremely concerned about.
Yeah.
Good to see him just get a hit today, just see one go in. Yeah. But goodness, it's been bad for a while now when it comes to him in particular. But getting guys back, like having a Josh Young back, not having Corey Seager in the lineup as consistently as you would probably like to start the season, certainly is a factor. And when he's been in there, he hasn't been his usual self either. So, but I mean, Broadus seems like he's... Where's the panic button? How far are you from it?
No. I the things that we've talked about, and we made a big, big, big deal about how this team was going to score runs. You know, the questions were about bullpen and maybe if starting pitching could stay healthy. You know, so far, I think Jack Leiter has, you know, for two outings, it's been more than just, I wouldn't call it surprising. I would just say, man, that is a relief for me because, like, I was concerned. You know, I'm concerned about his, you know, Vanderbilt running mate there, you know, Rocker. But like I say, Evaldi last night, and you know, the bullpen's come in, the middle relief's done a nice job of, you know, holding it. I mean, these last two nights or last two games have been just to the point where every pitch, it's just so critical, every play so critical. And the bullpen was outstanding. Starting pitcher's been outstanding. But man, we came into this season talking about this team being able to hit, and you know, through seven games, they really have it.
Yeah, you know, I was just looking at Marcus Semien at 2023, even though the postseason wasn't great, he had some big moments. 2024, he had one month where he hit well. It was 287. Other than that, it's below 250 significantly. You know, I do feel like we are starting to stack up some time as we get into this season where, you know, you have to know, hey, we signed these contracts with Semien and Seager not knowing what it would look like in the second half of those as these players aged. And, you know, not everybody gets to be a Calais Campbell still getting the job done 18 seasons later, approaching 40 years old, or a LeBron James. I do think, though, Semien is the kind of professional and has the kind of athleticism that should hold up well. So I'm not writing it off yet, but starting to look that way. Okay, Sandler's going to join the show for 5 minutes. We'll check in with him as they hit the road to come on back home, get ready to take on Tampa this weekend. We're back with Sandler and to set up a big sports day here in the G-Bag Nation, 105 through the Fan. Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Jared Sandler joining us here in just a second. Check this out. After giving up 14 runs Monday, the Rangers shut out the Reds back-to-back days, gave up 7 hits and walked 0 batters while striking out 18 Reds over the last 2 games of the series. Just a scintillating performance for this pitching staff. It's Sands joins you now here in the G-Bag Nation. How you doing, Jared?
What's up, guys? I'm great. You know, it's not the way that I think people would have envisioned the first week to go. I think, you know, a lot of people thought this was a team that was going to be carried by their bats, and they probably still will be when all is said and done, but they've gotten some awesome pitching, not only from the rotation, but the bullpen to start off the season.
Yeah, I'm willing to give up on the idea of having a good offense if the pitching staff's going to be this stingy with runs, though, Sands. This was fantastic work by them.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't give up any runs, then I guess you really don't need to have a great offense. And that was kind of the formula the last 2 days. But, I mean, they do need to get it going, and I think they will. And I understand, you know, that last year we kind of were saying the same thing around this time, and they really didn't get it going. But I think this year will be different. But either way, you know, it's been nice to see the Rangers not only get strong starts, but also the bullpen. I mean, again today, 4 different levers helping to protect a one-run game, and the Rangers were able to get the job done.
You know, as Jared, last night, if I could circle back with, you know, Evaldi, did you get a sense that he was like lobbying Boats to stay out there and he just wanted to finish that thing? Or did you get any sense of how that all went down? It's very rare what he did to get that complete game the way they do.
Yeah, especially, you know, with how protective people are so early in the year, you know, usually wait to see guys get a little more stretched out. No, I mean, I guess it's possible. Boats said that he didn't have to be convinced that, you know, he had every intention of him going out. Now, that was Ellie De La Cruz was his last batter. So, you know, if Ellie De La Cruz would have reached, then it would have been Luke Jackson on the pitch. So good timing. He was able to get De La Cruz and get the complete game shutout. Otherwise, he would have been so close. But yeah, I mean, the sense I get from Boach just talking to him is that was that was what they had drawn up. But yeah, I mean, you're right, Broadus. It's just you don't see it very often. And you especially don't see it within the first couple starts of any pitcher season, just because teams are a lot more cautious about making sure that they're fully built up. But, you know, the fact that the pitch count was only, you know, in the 80s and then ended up at 99, I think was a huge reason why.
What do you think of this start for Jack Leiter in these two games? Has he made it or what?
No. I mean, his first two starts have been great, right? And he definitely looks like he is not only improved his just the consistency of his stuff and the maturity and you can just tell he doesn't look like he's as frazzled at times on the mound, whether fair or not to assume that's kind of what the mannerisms were portraying, but he's two starts don't make a season, and he's gonna have to get it done once guys start to get more and more of a book on the updated version of Jack Leiter. But he's definitely taken a huge step forward. You watch him pitch, and the talent, the stuff is there. I mean, he's throwing his fastball in the high 90s and having a lot of success with it. He's added the sinker today. We saw, and I think Bastic did a great job of explaining this, but probably the best we've maybe ever seen his slider, not just in a given at bat, but over the course of all five innings. And we saw the curveball and the changeup too. I mean, he threw all five of his pitches. And, I understand there was conversation, about, hey, does this guy maybe profile more as a reliever? And listen, who knows what the future holds? But when you got a guy who can throw five pitches, and I'd say right now four of them are pitches that can get out, that's meaningful. That's tough to do. And for a starting pitcher to have that, I think that shows he's in the right place. But a really good job by Jack. And, it's to the point now where, excited to see him take the ball next time out. And thankfully, I think that this blister issue is not really that big of a deal. So, hopefully there won't be any delays in the next time Jack takes the ball.
That's terrific to hear. How much of a benefit do you think it is to be able to pitch the day after Evaldi, and he gets to kind of see how Evo works through the lineup, and he's able to kind of gain some perspective and maybe some ideas for that?
Yeah, I think that can be a benefit. I'd also say that, we thought that after Evo just tore up the Red Sox with his curveball, that, that was going to be an indication that it's going to be a heavy curveball game from Jack. And the reality is, these guys are all different. Their stuff is different. Teams make adjustments. I think, Zach, to be honest with you, I think just having Nathan Eovaldi is a huge impact. I think that, listening to the way these guys talk about Evo and what they learn from him and how generous he is with his time and taking guys and saying, hey, here's what I'm seeing, and asking, what are you seeing, and working through those conversations. I just think, whether Jack's pitching before or after, the fact that he's sharing a rotation with Nathan Eovaldi and able to sit in the dugout during games and have those conversations and in between games is really, really, really valuable. And, I think that's probably where the biggest impact is.
Jared Sandler with us here on The Fan. The Marcus Semien stuff, at what point do you start to get concerned about him specifically?
Yeah, so it's a fair question. And, the Rangers are at home for three against Tampa. Then they have a week-long road trip, Chicago and Seattle. And I think at the end of that road trip, if things haven't started to turn around, I think it's at least fair to then ask the question, right? Mm-hmm. And start to discuss, hey, what are our options? And maybe Marcus is still the right guy against lefties, but maybe it's someone else against righties, or maybe you just want a consistent guy in the leadoff spot. And again, maybe it is Marcus, right? It's no one sitting right now. I shouldn't say no one. Obviously, Adolis has had a little pocket and Wyatt Langford, but it's not like, Marcus is holding the lineup back. They need to get other guys going. And I think that, when you're 5-2, it maybe alleviates a little bit of the pressure. What if they were 3-4? Maybe these conversations would intensify a little bit to try and get a spark. So when you're winning, it buys you a little time. But Eric, I was talking about this with Vasek, and I think after the next road trip, if he still hasn't gotten things going, then I think they're having conversations, I'm sure, prior to that, but I think you could maybe be in a position to act on some of those conversations.
That surprises me, Jared. I was thinking 1 month. You're thinking about 1 week. That is interesting. But
I mean, it'll end up being about 3 weeks of the season. So, I mean, you're a little shy of 1 month, and you're also coming off of a down year. So, I think that's I'm not saying that that's when you definitively make the move. I think that's probably the earliest where you would see a consistent change. Now, the other thing, too, guys, I don't know if you heard Bruce Bochy in the pregame said that he was thinking of giving Marcus a day off,
right?
And giving him the double day off with tomorrow's team day off, which, you know, that to me is encouraging. Now, they didn't do it because Corey ultimately needed the day off, and hopefully, maybe they give Marcus the day off on Friday. But just the fact that they're having these conversations already, I mean, it's April 2nd or whatever the day is hopefully a sign that Marcus is going to be more open to resting a little more frequently throughout the year to keep his body fresh.
7 games in, Jared. I know it's a small sample size, but they're 5-2. Man, this is exciting. Have fun, and we'll catch up with you on Friday.
All right, fellas. Take care.
Salute. There he goes. He's at Jared Sandler on Twitter. A must follow for Rangers fans everywhere. 2 series in, 2 series victories. Off tomorrow, so that's nice. And they'll get after it on Friday against the Tampa Bay Rays. Okay, NFL news today coming up. Wolchuk, where are you taking us?
We got dueling mock drafts, new twist in the record books, and the tuna is getting honored. That's next.